Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zentalist, just in case you keep up with these recordings. These are not the podcast recordings, so I don't do the stuff that I normally would do in a podcast recording. Doesn't happen. But these are just the ones when I've got some spare time. I don't have anything really in my head. And you know, some people are annoying but funny at the same time, so you almost have to kind of take the tact of, you know, I'm just going to accept the fact that they're just funny as opposed to being annoying. Because it's so easy to be annoyed at things, you know. I don't like that person. I don't like the way they react. I don't like their style. I don't like any of that stuff. And you go, you know what? So? What? Who cares? Maybe? I don't know. I'm doing equipment shuffling. I am making people happy. If I can. If it's possible. If it's within my realm of capability, I'm going to make people happy. So I'm doing a couple of equipment transfers that should make life nice for a lot of folks. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro, and you're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zentalist. And I really haven't put the stuff up on the podcast yet to try to get speaking gigs. And I'm kind of hoping it actually comes to pass. I do want this to happen. I was thinking about essays to write, although, you know, I don't know if writing an essay and putting it up somewhere will really be any help, particularly. We'll see. I did my affirmations, and I think about them often. And that's really the way it works. You know, if you're thinking about it, if you constantly bring them up, if you look at them, some people say to read them. I really don't get down to reading them because, you know, although I do have them with me, I don't spend a lot of time pondering it. But then again, it's only April 21st, and it's not even been a full month since I wrote the stuff down. And some of it has even begun to... I'm getting some air flowing here, so it's going to be a little noisier. I haven't really begun work on it awfully much. But that's another thing about affirmations. You don't really work on it. You just think about it, and it becomes almost kind of a preoccupation, just given your thought on the subject. And things just start coalescing. You know, if you were to think of it as a box of puzzle pieces, and you just keep shaking it, the pieces start falling together. Now, Scott Adams takes kind of an interesting stance on it, kind of an atheist, this is how the world works sort of stance on, almost as if it's kind of a mystical force. I tend to look at it, and it isn't problematic to look at it that way, is to say, you know, God's going to help me. If I'm keeping my eyes on the goal, it's going to come. It's kind of an equate to getting to a celestial kingdom. Actually, it ends up being getting to whatever goal you have. If you keep working, if you keep walking and you're going in the right direction, if you're following a path and you keep walking, you're bound to get to the end of it. You're bound to get there, as long as you stay on the path and you keep moving forward. That's just That's just simple reality. A lot of people don't think of it that way. They always think about the obstacles that are going to be in one's way, and they let that dissuade them from actually doing it. So you just do it. You just put yourself out there, and you keep walking that path, and it's bound to come. As long as you don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Let these things happen. When it makes sense to do something, do it. Oh, you can tell I'm in close New Mexico. The smell is just starting to get rank. They use agricultural water to do crops here, and I'm sorry, they get some agricultural water from dairies and places like that, and I'm sorry, it's nasty. It just smells bad. I worry too much how we process things and how paranoid we get about these things. And I'll end up creating your own problems by trying to get overly efficient. Don't get so efficient, because it often kills things. I'm always saying that about families. Not always, but I say that about families, you know. Don't get efficient. Efficient is the last thing you should be doing in relation to a family. You should be much more concerned about, you know, maximizing your time. Because, you know, efficiency says use as little time as you have to keep something going. And if you do that with a child, you're going to regret. You're going to regret having done that, because they will efficiently just decide that you're not important, and you'll all of a sudden be out of their life. And probably in a very efficient way, though. But yeah, you know, you can take pride in the fact of how efficient your child is. They might be efficient at telling you to go to hell. You know, I'm sorry. But that's basically what gets on us, so we might as well leave it in. You know, do you want them to be efficient? And you go, when it comes to getting rid of you or accomplishing a goal that they want to get to, that you're standing in their way, no, you don't want them to be efficient at it at all. You want them to think about it. Do you really want to destroy your relationship with me just to get some weird goal? That's why you have to be careful about being goal-oriented. Then, one, you got to pick good goals. Number two, you have to have larger considerations than just the goal. That's why if my affirmations change over time, that's not a big problem for me. In fact, most of my affirmations, I think, were just realizations of what makes my heart sing, what I was really hoping to be up to. Finally getting to a goal that has an end that's sensible. I always found that a lot of the things that I wanted to do were actually means to an end. Things like, you know, I want to be a writer. And, you know, you would be going like that, you'd practice, you'd do stuff, but it was like, what does such writing lead to? And that became the issue, especially when I would struggle with writing. I'd say, I need to spend more time writing. I need to write. And it's like, well, for what reason are you writing, Jay? You know, and you can say, well, it's so that I can have a career and make money. And honestly, if I was trying to do that, I should have taken a different course a long time ago. You know, and because of my varied and interesting experience, I think it's much more important to, you know, when people say, well, if you want to be a writer, what are you going to be, a fiction writer or a nonfiction? And if it's going to be nonfiction, then you have to go, well, then you're going to have to get, you're going to have to get good at something, you know. You have to have something to write about. You know, I guess you can write about writing, but then you have to get good at writing, you know, and it really helps to be excellent at it. And that usually implies that, you know, you've had something to write about, you know. And when it comes down to it, most people say, you know what, it really isn't about the writing. It's about having something to say and using writing as your way of doing it. You know, people can say, oh, they just had a marvelous way of writing. That's helpful. But that in and of itself is not going to accomplish what you need to do. If you want to become a nonfiction writer and you want to be like write magazine articles, stuff like that, you know, nobody's going to let you just do that and just say, well, you just need to let me do it because I'm such a good writer. You go, but writing about what? You're writing about the stars in the sky, and my journal is all about computers. You need to write about computers if you want to get published in my journal. You know, so it's one has to separate from dreams what one wants to really accomplish. Of course, you know, like I was saying in some recent podcast episodes, it really becomes a question as to what do you really want to accomplish? You know, what do you really want? You know, what do you really want? If all you're looking at is a picture and you want to have a house that's big, you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to do this, those are all just dreams. Those are all just dreams that you're not, you know, it's just wishing. And wishing can help you get somewhere, but it's got to be wishing with other things too. You have to have somewhat of a plan. You know, this is how I'm going to get to it. I am going to raise money doing this, and I'm going to get good at this so that I might raise the money that I need so that I may get the house that I want. And usually when you start going down that road, you start to understand that the things that you used to wish about either become irrelevant given what you're hoping, where you're taking your life, or you start to find out that that's a byproduct. You know, if you want a really nice house, the really nice house ends up being a byproduct of what you're really doing. The bulk of your life isn't spent trying to acquire this house. It really is kind of just an accoutrement that comes with what you're doing. If you're not doing something that one of the accoutrements is getting a house that big, that's not going to happen. It just ends up being a, oh, I wish I had that. And that's why people who just spend their time going, oh, and they express that to other people, the other people think they're nuts, especially people that have those things. You want this? You need to, number one, know who you are. Number two, you need to pursue what you're good at. And then maybe at 7, 8, or 9 down the road, you might have something that looks like this. Although, it may end up being not important. Let me give you a for instance. I worked on a boat. The job I had was 5 weeks on, 5 weeks off. You'd work for 5 weeks, and then you'd be off for 5 weeks. Most of the people in the industry were on sixes, which is 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off. And that would have been fine. I found that my job, what became important was the time off. It really wasn't what you were doing on the job. It was all about what you were doing when you weren't on the job. That was one of the reasons why it was appealing to people. You found that probably the guys that got into the lifestyle the most didn't bother keeping up a house because it was pointless. Half the time, you weren't there. They would have a girlfriend, and that girlfriend would have a house. You would contribute, or you would just, you know, you would contribute. You're part of the money to the pursuit. You know, she would actually get most of the benefit of the house. You know, and these guys kept the girlfriend around and kept her happy, and you became her sugar daddy. because of the benefits of it. You know, when you came home, you had a girlfriend. You would have wild, passionate sex or whatever you were after. And she got the benefit of having probably pretty nice housing circumstances. Because when you're on the boat, you didn't need the money. Everything you needed was provided for. And it is an alluring thing. It was alluring to me. I liked having just all that stuff taken care of. And whatever money I was getting ended up just being kind of icing on the cake. Now, it all went to Lisa, and she had a magnificent lifestyle. She got herself a much nicer house. We got a nice house, you know. And so in that circumstance, you could say you originally got the job to get enough money to have a really nice house. But at some point out of that, you may have had this view that said, you know what, now that I've gotten this, I don't need a big, nice house. You know, you might all of a sudden find out that you really enjoy going to exotic places and seeing exotic people, and you just want to kind of play kind of something of a playboy lifestyle. You know, so you have to be careful what your dreams are for the simple reason that they're going to change. A lot. Maybe. Or, you know, in the midst of trying to get something, all of a sudden you'll say, wait a minute, I didn't really want that. I had no interest in it. Or whatever. You know, it really doesn't end up being, you know. So that's why it's so important. That's why when people say, you know, I want to have a big house just like this and I'm going to do what it takes to do it, the thing that comes up is there's a million different ways of making that happen, and it becomes much more important how you do that, because you're not going to do it once if you're going to have it and then you're going to spend the rest of your life living in that house being happy, because what it takes to get a house that size ends up being the major occupation of your life, of your time. So it becomes much more important to say, you know, this is what I want to do with my time, becomes a much more vital question than, you know, what am I doing with my life? It's like, well, I don't know. You know, that becomes much more important. If you're supposed to get the house will come. Okay? If you work at a certain level and you get that good, the big house will come if that's still what you really want. But you'll notice that it's a byproduct. It isn't the major goal. You know, children get all caught up in the accoutrements. I want to have this, I want to have that. That's why when people say, you know, and there's plenty of 30, 40, 50-year-old children who are still looking for that thing. That's why if it ends up being the byproducts that you think make life worthwhile, who knows what you could end up doing. Drug dealers, I think, end up being those sorts of people. You know, I never really grew up. Of course, if you said that to their faces, they would shoot you. You know, So you don't really end up saying that. What you end up saying is, you know, it doesn't really matter what I do. What it matters is what I've got. I've got nice cars. People bow down to me. I'm a powerful person. And you can get caught up in some pretty evil stuff if that just ends up being all you really care about. You know, you could have done it by being the CEO of a major corporation, too. Being a drug kingpin, it suits some people better. You know, I don't want to waste my time trying to build up some corporation. I don't want to try to talk other people into it. I just want to start, you know, getting that lifestyle. And, you know, it really ends up being, what do you really want? Because when you just go after those accoutrements, it's often quite easy to get them. If you really want to have a really nice car, and you want people to go, ooh, that's a really cool car. And ooh, if you want to turn your friend's head, and really impress them. That's almost laughably easy. There are several ways of doing it. Now, whether they're ultimately fulfilling, whether you can hang on to that stuff, whether it ultimately ends up being really important to you, are all things that, you know, adults consider. Mature people get into. When you don't do that, you know, that, and that's okay. Like, I'm looking at these people right now. These are people with adults. They're out doing a lawn service. You know, and that, you know, I don't know if that's fulfilling or not. I can't really think that the act of mowing lawns all day is really that intoxicatingly, you know, oh man, I just love my job. Maybe they do. So I'm sure there's plenty of people that also say, you know, I don't care how I make my money. The whole point was I wanted to have a house that after a hard day of work, I could go home, I could kick up in front of a large screen TV and relax and not have to feel guilty about it or stuff like that, you know. However that ends up looking. It just really ends up being what you really want out of life. And for me, I figured out that what I really want is I want something that's really fulfilling, that really answers my abilities. And I want to, of course, I want to expand on my abilities. Now, when I say, of course, that's kind of funny, because I seem to see and think that there are a lot of people that they don't really care about expanding their abilities. If they can do what they do right now and make $10,000, that's where all the get-rich-quick schemes are. They can go out and make $10,000, you know, or $100,000 a year, basically doing nothing, you know, and say, you know, I have all the time to watch TV, I have all the toys I ever wanted. The kind of things that you hear about in the quick get-rich-quick schemes, you know, where they say, you know, you can buy and sell houses and make a million. I made $1 million last year while he's posing in shorts and a polo shirt in front of his extremely expensive car, you know. And you go, I'm not that kind of person at all. Getting wealthy isn't the end. That isn't what I'm after. Now, do I want to be good at what I'm doing? Do I want people to praise me for what I am? Do I want people to, you know, do I want some acclaim? Do I want to feel good about myself? Do I want to be the kind of person that I'm capable of being? Yes, that's what I want. Now, I think probably, most likely, getting wealthy is going to be a byproduct of that happening. In fact, I anticipate it. But it's not the end to it. It's not because I want to get rich. I would like to be more comfortable than I am now. But I anticipate that's a byproduct of what I'm going to be doing. That's my expectation. And I think it's more of an honest one than saying, yeah, $50,000 a year will buy a lot of beer. Life is going great and it's only getting better. You know, and you go, you know, I guess you can do that, but by and large you're not going to be able to hang on to it. Nobody's going to pay you $50,000 a year to basically do nothing. You know, and to say, yeah, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. You know, when I became an administrator, and I can't say that it was this amazing thing. Yeah, I was the CEO of a corporation. I wasn't. I was a very low-grade manager. My first administrative job, really the only one I've had since. Because, I'm sorry, all the stuff that was supposed to make it worthwhile, I didn't want. I wasn't interested in it. It didn't spin my wheels. It didn't make me happy. Even the trappings of it. And I started to find out, you know, even if there's trappings to it, I don't want it. I don't want to live that life. I don't like the kind of person I have to become to make that happen. It would be me doing it simply for the money. And that was why I took the job. It was the best paying job that I was being offered. All the rest of the jobs were paid significantly less. And I got the opportunity to make some money. Now, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it did seem like a lot to a guy that was 20... How old was I? 25, 26 years old. $28,000 a year job with some expansion possibilities was really enticing to me. But then I came back and it was like, well, I'm sorry. It's not... It ended up not being enticing to me anymore. I found out that I didn't want to do that, so I haven't. I haven't done that. I don't want to be a manager of anything. The only thing I want to manage is myself. I'm not even big on managing my family, particularly. Not in that way. In running their lives. I find I'm not that kind of a person. I'm not a manager sort of a person. I'm more of a, I do what I do, and you do what you do, and hopefully we're both happy with it. And I can share that with people. It's kind of sad now. Now that I'm doing this recording, I wish I would have done it as a life autistic. And I think I will. I'll go ahead and stop here, and we'll switch over and do life autistic. Hang on. So have a nice day. This is Jane Emerald, quasi-indefatigable gentleman.